If you're a first-time visitor, glad to have you. If you're watching by internet, listening by podcast, so glad you're here. We feel the anointing and the presence of God, and I believe you can feel it right where you are. And if you're a first-time visitor, please take a moment, fill out a visitor card in front of you in the pew there, and make sure you leave that with us before you leave so we can get in touch with you. Zephaniah is where I want to go for just a few minutes and share my heart. Zephaniah chapter 3, and I want to read one verse. Amen. And I would ask you to stand one more time just for the reading of the word. Amen. And let's honor his word today. Zephaniah chapter 3. And I want to look at verse 17. Amen. Powerful verse here. Zephaniah is a small book in the Old Testament, but it's packed full of power. And I want you to see something today. Zephaniah 3:17 says this, "The Lord thy God in the midst of thee is mighty, and he will save." Everybody say that with me. He will save. Another translation puts it like this, "For the Lord your God is living among you, and he is a mighty Savior." I like that. Another translation says, "Your God is present among you, a strong warrior there to save you." He is mighty to save. Lord, thank you for your word. And I pray today that the word of God would permeate the soul of somebody in this place. And Lord, that salvation would come and that your power would save and bring salvation here today. In Jesus' name, amen. 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 Shake somebody's hand one more time before you're seated. Find a guest. Praise God. So glad you're here. Take a bow. Okay. All right. Praise God. Zephaniah was a prophet of judgment. In fact, he declared that judgment was coming to Israel and that there was nothing that could hold back his judgment except repentance. Except for Judah asking forgiveness and repenting of their sin. Zephaniah was a prophet who prophesied during a time of prosperity. Prosperity for Judah, a time when the king Josiah was bringing reformation. He was bringing change to the nation of Judah. But Zephaniah had a word from God, and Zephaniah was bold enough to declare what God had put on his heart. Amen. And you know, I wish today that we had a lot more preachers like Zephaniah, who wasn't afraid to stand up in their pulpit and say that one must be saved. You know, for years we witnessed door to door and we would talk to folks, and the first thing we would ask them is, "Are you saved?" You know, and today you ask people that and they look at you like you have four heads. They'll say, "Saved from what? What does that even mean? Be saved." You know, we learn this Christianese, right? And we think that everybody knows the language we speak. Now, everybody in here, I could probably say, "Are you saved?" And you would know exactly what I'm talking about. But there's so many people out there, especially young people, and you say that to them, they're going to look at you funny and say, "What do you mean, sir? What do you mean, ma'am? Saved from what?" And I wonder, I often wonder, if we truly know what it means to be saved. I do. I mean, we throw this language around so hard. You know, "I'm saved," but do you really know what you're saved from? Because I would venture to say that many folks sitting on church pews today, they are not saved. In fact, during the time Zephaniah was prophesying was during a time of reformation. It was a time of revival. It was a time when Israel was tearing down their idol gods and they were calling on Jehovah. It was a time when people seemed to be doing what was right in the eyes of God. But God told Zephaniah, "Their outward appearance looks well, but in their hearts, they are not serving me with their whole heart. And do you realize that the judgment he spoke of did come? He prophesied around 600 years before the birth of Christ. During this time, the Babylonian kingdom was making plans to go to Judah and tear it down and ransack the temple and take people back to Babylon. And do you realize that happened? That's not only church history, that's world history. That happened, ladies and gentlemen. But Zephaniah said that it would happen. I want to read verse 1 of chapter 1 of Zephaniah. It says, "The word of the Lord which came unto Zephaniah, I will utterly consume all things from off the land." That's a powerful word, isn't it? "Saith the Lord, and them that are turned back from the Lord, and those that have not sought the Lord, nor inquired for him, hold thy peace at the presence of the Lord God." Verse 7, "For the day of the Lord is at hand." Now, do you know, have any idea what the day of the Lord means? The day of the Lord is when destruction and judgment comes from the hand of Almighty God. The day of the Lord speaks of not only when Babylon would come and take over Judah, but he's also forthtelling about a time when God will bring judgment to the planet that we are on today. Now, I know there's preachers that say that this won't happen and we're not sure that it's going to happen, but can I remind you that Jesus is coming again and that it could be at any given moment? And that if you don't have any idea what it means to be saved, you will see and face this destruction. You will face the judgment of God. Yes, he's a God of grace. Yes, he's a merciful God. But he's also a just God. And he's also a God of wrath and a God of judgment. And he is very jealous. You think you've had a jealous girlfriend or a jealous boyfriend? You haven't seen nothing until the day of judgment. Because he deserves and demands to be worshipped. And you say, "Well, that's pretty prideful." He has every right in the world to demand your worship and your praise because he is Almighty God. And he made a way for you to be saved. But the day of the Lord is coming. The next event that will happen, the trumpet of God will sound. And the dead in Christ shall rise first. Then we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together with him in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air. And so shall we ever be with the Lord. 1 John 3:2 says, "Beloved, now are we the sons of God, and it doth not yet appear what we shall be, but we know when he shall appear, we shall be like him, for we shall see him as he is." He is coming again. And I believe with all my heart that we need to be ready for it. I believe that we need to understand what it means to know that he is a mighty Savior. What does he save you from? Well, number one, he saves you from yourself. Because you cannot save yourself. You cannot trust yourself. You cannot help yourself. All you can do is dig a bigger hole and jump in head first. But aren't you glad that a way has been made? That even though your sin is unto death, Christ has made a way for you to have eternal life. In fact, God loved you so much that he decided to become one of you. And what did he do? He lived a perfect, sinless, holy, pure, and righteous life. The Bible says that guile wasn't even found in his mouth. You know what that means? The very thought of even sinning or going against his own word never even crossed his mind. Why? Because he was God. He was the God-man, God in the flesh, becoming a sacrifice for you and I. And that's what it means to be saved. To be saved from yourself. We talk about being saved and we talk about salvation. The only thing we can think about is not going to hell or not spending eternity away from God. And yes, nobody wants to go to hell. Nobody wants to spend eternity away from God. But can I tell you, there's more to it than that. Jesus Christ is in love with you. He doesn't need you. He wants you. He desires a relationship with you. He desires communication with you. Now, Zephaniah was trying to tell Judah this. And he says these words. Look at verse 12, Zephaniah chapter 1. "And it shall come to pass at that time that I will search Jerusalem with candles." In other words, he's going to take a flashlight and punish. Let me tell you something. You're not hiding from him. You can hide from your spouse. You can hide from your children, mom and dad. You can hide from your friends and family. But he knows exactly what you're doing. and punish the men that are settled on their lees. He's going to punish those who are in a lukewarm, satisfied condition. Wow. That say in their heart, the Lord will not do good, neither will he do evil. And I can't tell you how many times I hear people make the poor, pitiful excuse, is God really real? The Bible was written by a man. And I don't believe for one second that they really believe that. All I think is that they're justifying their own sinful lifestyle because they know without the Lord's help, they cannot and will not change. Just my opinion. And that's what they were saying. He's not going to do it good. He's not going to do evil. In other words, God isn't interested in our everyday lives. He might be God of the world, but he doesn't really care about me or what I'm doing. Oh, yes, he does. And the fact that you're here today, you're not here just to see something. You're not here by chance. You're here because God in his love and his mercy has brought you to this place so that he could tell you once again, you can be saved from yourself. God, help me today. Verse 14, the great day of the Lord is near. It is near and hasting greatly, even the voice of the day of the Lord. The mighty man shall cry there bitterly. Now, I believe he's referring to that time of tribulation. After the rapture of the church, after the trumpet of God, there will be 7 years on this blue marble planet that will bring destruction and judgment to the whole world. There will be a time of utter darkness that will cover this planet. There will be one man at the helm of it all, and they will call him the Antichrist. And Revelation tells us that you won't be able to buy, trade, eat, or sell unless you make a commitment to him and take his mark and say that you denounce the God of Israel. And I want to tell you, my friend, I know some of you think you're pretty tough, and some of you think you can make it through that time, but the Bible says that even during that time, the very elect of God will be deceived. Verse 15, Zephaniah 1, that day is a day of wrath, a day of trouble and distress, a day of wasteness and desolation, a day of darkness, gloominess, a day of clouds and thick darkness. Verse 18, I want you to see this one. Neither their silver nor their gold shall be able to deliver them in the day of the Lord's wrath. Your money won't help you during that time. In fact, the Bible says it'll take a week's wage to buy a loaf of bread. Your money will not help you during this time. But the whole land shall be devoured by the fire of his jealousy. For he shall make even a speedy riddance of all them that dwell in the land. I want to read what Jesus said in Matthew 24. He said, for then shall be great tribulation, such as was not since the beginning of the world to this time, no, nor ever shall be. And immediately after the tribulation of those days shall the sun be darkened, and the moon shall not give her light, and the stars shall fall from heaven, and the powers of the heavens shall be shaken. That's already begun. That's already started. And you refuse to call upon the name of the Lord. Oh, you come to church, but you don't call upon the name of the Lord. Oh, you know a lot about Jesus, but I don't really know if you know him. Because knowing about him and knowing him are two different things. Oh, Zephaniah chapter 3, I want to jump over there, look at verse 5, says this. The prophet said, the just Lord, everybody shout just. He's just, is in the midst thereof, and he will not do iniquity. And every morning doth he bring his judgment to light, he faileth not. But the unjust knoweth no shame. I have cut off the nations, and their towers are desolate. I made their streets waste, that none passeth by. Their cities are destroyed, so that there is no man, that there is none inhabitant. That's a day of desolation. That's a day of judgment. And can I tell you that he's coming and that it will happen. But as Zephaniah declared to Judah, I'm declaring to you today that he is mighty to save and that he will save you if you would just simply repent and tell Jesus You want him to be Lord of your life. Verse 19 of Zephaniah 3, behold, at that time, and this is a word for somebody, at that time I will undo all that afflict thee, and I will save her that halteth, and gather her that was driven out, and I will get them praise and fame in every land where they have been put to shame. I want to read that from another translation. Listen to this. At the same time, the Lord says, I will get rid of all those things and all those people that made your life miserable. There's trial today. There's tribulation on this earth. There's hard times. There's bad times. There's dark times. But there's coming a day, oh hallelujah, that if you are saved and you are delivered, that's what saved means, you see. It means being delivered, being liberated. That doesn't mean you're never going to sin, because let me just go ahead and help you out. You ready? You will sin. Feel better? You will sin. You will blow it. It has nothing to do with being a good moral person. In fact, I know people who don't even believe in God who have better morals than I do. Has nothing to do with that. The Bible says there's no just man on earth that doeth good and sinneth not. You can be good all day long, but you are still in the eyes of God lost and undone and a sinner. And Jesus has made the way. And the Bible says that with one drop of that blood, he became sin who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in Christ. And when he hung suspended between heaven and earth, every one of your sin, yes, even the ones you haven't even committed, he already made provision for and forgave you and saved you, that now all you have to do is confess your sin, and he is faithful and just to forgive you and to cleanse you from all unrighteousness. If you'll only believe it. Hallelujah. So he'll turn it back. He'll get rid of all of it one day. When you see the Lord and you are transformed into his image, ladies and gentlemen, all the sickness, the pain, the hurt, the malady, the malfunction, the remembering of those bad times and hard times and the hurts and the pain will all be gone. Hallelujah. I want to read the text that I started with, and I'm finished. And the Lord God in your midst, a warrior who saves. I like that. And he will rejoice over you with joy, and he will be quiet in his love, making no mention of your past sins. This is the Amplified. And he will rejoice over you with shouts of joy. My God, I love that. He will forgive you and remember them no more. People will bring them up. Those closest to you will bring them up. But he will never, ever bring them up again. He loves you that much. Hallelujah. One more and I'm done. Isaiah 59 verse 1 says this. This used to be my favorite evangelistic verse here. Behold, the Lord's hand is not shortened, that he cannot save. Nor is his ear too heavy, that he cannot hear. You cannot get so low where he cannot reach down and pull you up and pull you out and save you. You cannot. And you can never get so far that he will not hear you when you call upon his name. Romans 10:13 says, if you confess with your own mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you shall be saved. It's that simple. Stand to your feet. You're watching by internet, listening by podcast. You can be saved today and delivered, set free by the power of God. Simply say this prayer. Lord Jesus, I give you my life. I repent of my sin. And I confess that you, Jesus, are Lord. And if you said that simply by faith, I believe that supernatural power has changed your life right now in Jesus' name. Thank you for watching and listening. We'd love to communicate with you further. So email us and let us know you're watching.